Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
Morning. Today's reading is taken from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take chips as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what is a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. It's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Are you someone who loves to talk or prefers to stay quiet and listen? Maybe you're the talkative one in your family, but quieter around others. For me, I'm not sure. Some people have told me I talk a lot. And now, sometimes, when I'm in a conversation, their words come into my head. You're talking too much. And I tell myself, Layli, you need to stop. It's funny how that one sentence can bring both positive and negative thoughts. Have you ever felt like that? The letter of James is divided into 5 chapters. In chapter 1, James emphasizes listening and doing the word of God. In chapter 2, he focuses on faith and deed. And today, as we look at chapter 3, we'll see that it's about faith and our words. James talks about how we use our words in all five chapters. It's a recurring theme throughout the letter. We see in chapter 1, verse 19, and in verse 26, James talks about the signs of a religious person. He says that if someone cannot control their tongue, their religion is worthless. Chapter 2, verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Chapter 4, verse 11, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Chapter 5, verse 12, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is simple yes or no. But as we saw, as Liz read earlier, it's chapter 3 that gives most time to the tongue, to our words. Words are important, and James makes a big deal about it here. God speaks to us through his words, and his words is now in our hands, written and recorded for us. And by his Holy Spirit, given generously from above, his words is now written on our hearts. So how we speak, write, communicate, all of this must reflect how God's word has totally transformed our words. This passage really challenged me, especially when I thought about Pedram being here and hearing what I'm saying about the power of the tongue. It's the people who are closest to us who know how we really are with our words, right? The tongue and the words that come out from our mouth are so important. They can either build up or destroy. The Old Testament already taught that lesson. The Apostle Paul quotes a number of Psalms in Romans 3 when he shows that so much of our corrupt and destructive potential comes from our mouth. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Again, in Ephesians 4:29, Paul advises, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our words are so powerful, for good or evil. And they are a key way that we represent and honor God, especially when we are claiming to speak as his children, his disciples, or leaders in his church. There is a higher judgment for those who speak about God to others. This is why James in verse 1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Teachers are at great risk of the destructive potential of the tongue because so much of their work is about communication. They need to speak rightly and they should live by the words they speak. The ruin and pain caused by hypocritical leaders whose words haven't matched their actions has held the church back in every age and place. And we've all experienced the damage when cruel or unthinking words are spoken to us by someone in power. And finally, there is preaching or Bible study teaching that doesn't give us a true picture of our loving, holy God, which wraps our faith and stops us from truly following Jesus. Every gross group leader, every service leader, every preacher and pastor, every ESL teacher, generations team member, even those who are welcoming at the door, our words matter so much to God, because the words we choose have the power to bless and build someone up or to tear them down. When our speech aligns with God's truth, it can bring encouragement and strength to those around us, not just showing the depths of our faith and the growth in our relationship with Him, but enabling others to take their next step with Christ too. Yet the tongue is such a small part of our body, but it has great power. You are beautiful. You are worthy. You can do it. God loves you. I love you. You're ugly. You're nothing. You're not enough. I don't like you. How do you feel when you hear these words? Can you sense the power and weight? When I worked in childcare, I noticed that some educators, when they expected a child to say thank you, would ask them, "What's the magic word?" And the child would then respond, "Thank you." I think it's true. Some words are like magic. Words have the power to transform a situation, to bring encouragement, hope, and joy. But words also have the power to harm. With just a few careless or hurtful words, we can discourage, wound, and destroy. As believers, we are called to be especially mindful of the words we speak. Our words should reflect the heart of Christ and bring glory to His name. Even though the tongue is tiny, the impact of our words can be massive. Some words encourage and build others up, while others discourage and tear them down. James continues in verse 5 and says, can you bring the verse 5 back, please? Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. The damage our words can do is like a small spark starting a fire. We've all seen the devastating fire in California. It swept through neighborhoods, destroying homes worth millions of dollars, and tragically, even taking lives. The fire spread quickly, growing harder and harder to contain. It's been an emotional few months hearing about fire in different parts of the world, including here in Australia. Yet when each of these fires started, they began with just a tiny spark or a flame or one strike of lightning. But once that spark ignites, the fire quickly grows, burning everything in its past. This is the power our tongue holds, whether for good or for harm. It's a reminder of how important it is to control our words, as they can either bring life or cause destruction. When we talk behind someone's back, when we pass judgment about who they are to God, when we show no care or concern for them, when we say we love them, but don't show it through our actions, when we use empty words without backing them up, or even when constantly remind them of their past mistakes, these are the things that fuel the fire. Just like a small spark can start a fire, our careless words and actions can quickly escalate, causing harm and burning relationships. And like a fire, the tongue is restless and unpredictable, always capable of slipping into harm. Verses 7 and 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. We as humans have been given ability and authority to tame all kinds of animals, even the wildest and most untamable creatures. But James tells us that no human being can tame the tongue. It is described as a restless evil, full of deadly poison, words that sting, wound, and even destroy relationships. Dr. Mojdeh Shirvanian, one of the faculty members at Pars Theological College, writes in her book about controlling thoughts and taming the tongue in relation to these two verses. She explained that these concepts can lead to two reactions within us. The first is to interpret James as saying that there is no way to control the disaster caused by the tongue, so we just carry on and live with it as it is. It's not our fault if we blurt out something rude or cruel. It's just, is it what it is? The second reaction is to conclude that the tongue can't be tamed by our own effort, but it can indeed be tamed and brought under the control of the Holy Spirit, who pours out his wisdom without finding fault. A tongue surrendered to the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives. Iranians have some expression about the importance of tongue. One of them says, taste your words in your mouth before you spit them out. Another one says, the words that come out of your heart sit in the hearts of others. The root of the words comes from the heart. If our hearts are filled with anger, bitterness, or pride, those things will easily spill out in our words. But when we allow God to work on our hearts and transform them, our words will reflect his grace, love, and truth. It is through this transformation that we can speak life and build others up, glorifying God with every. But like we heard over the past few weeks, the work of the Holy Spirit on our words or any other part of our discipleship is not automatic. Taming the tongue requires our surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit and our commitment to spiritual discipline. When we invite the Holy Spirit into our words each day and pray for His guidance over what we think and say, it helps us speak in ways that reflect His will. By being mindful of the words we use during worship, we can let those moments of praise influence how we talk in our everyday lives. But often, it is the opposite. As James says in verses 9 and 10, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. With our tongue, we worship the Lord. And with the same tongue, we curse human beings. From the same mouth come goodness and gossip, love and hate, the word of the Lord and boasting. With the same tongue, we heal and wound, bring light and darkness, build up and destroy. James tells us, my brothers and sisters, should not be. As followers of Christ, we are called to live a life of faith, and true faith must be put into action. Faith without deeds is dead, and when we put our faith into action, it bears fruit. And our words are part of this. We can't pretend that being regular at church, giving our money, lifting our hands in worship excuses how we speak to our spouse or our co-worker or even about our leaders and politicians. Of course, we are not perfect. As human beings, we sometimes get upset or angry, and we lose control of our tongue. But when this happens, we have a way forward. By confessing to God and seeking His forgiveness, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can grow in self-control and begin to tame the tongue. We can also focus on how God communicates to us. He speaks to us to save us, to transform us, to build us up, to call us into relationship with Him, to show us our potential, to give us purpose. He looks for the gold in us and calls it out. He shows us our worth in His own Son, Jesus. We can use our words to do the same, to call out to good and gold in others and to point them to their identity and purpose in Jesus. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. When someone has a birthday, people sometimes say, "You're 1 year older and wiser." Pedram has just turned 40, so he must be very wise now. But is that saying true? Does getting older automatically make someone wiser? Experience may give us knowledge, but wisdom is about how we live in God's words, not just how many years we've been alive. Of course, it's possible to think we're becoming wise with each passing year simply because we haven't understood what real wisdom is. James can see that some people see themselves as wise when they put themselves first and shape their lives around seeking their own selfish ambition. But James knows that this can't be heaven's wisdom, because with it comes disorder and evil. But heavenly wisdom brings a different result. Verses 17 and 18 describes it. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, the peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a heaven of righteousness. This is the wisdom God wants us to have that will shape how we speak. It's about living in a way that reflects God's heart, bringing peace and living in righteousness. And it is good for us and for others. It brings the best fruit for us as we seek to bear good fruit for others. Living with heavenly wisdom means controlling our tongue, thinking before we speak, exercising self-control, building others up, sharing the gospel, and reflecting Christ in everything we do and say. This wisdom leads to peace and a life that honors God. As followers of Jesus, we are called to speak words of life, encouragement, and truth. Words that heal, not harm. Words that reflect the love of Christ in us. Oh no. But we won't do this perfectly. We will fail at times. When that happens, we can confess, repent, and rely on God's grace to transform us. James challenges and encourages us to examine how we talk, how we act, and how we live if we truly believe in Christ. Sorry. When Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, He isn't just the Savior of our soul. He is the Savior of our tongue, our actions, and every part of our lives. So let's take James' challenge to heart, to live out our faith with deeds, to tame our tongue, and to seek the wisdom that comes from above. Let's be peacemakers who sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. And as we live here today, let's remember our words matter because they reveal who we are and whom we follow. Let's pray. Lord, we trust in the power of your Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and words. Help us use our tongues to glorify your name, build others up, and strengthen our relationship. Guard our speech, Lord, so it brings healing, unity, and love. May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.